Sunday at 1, Landover. Should be a good crowd. I don't know, and I've been trying to get some information as to whether or not the game is officially a sellout at this point. I don't think they technically sold out the Giant game, but this may be one of the first games in Landover in a long time, other than the opener last year, that is predominantly a home crowd environment. That should be fun. The Browns come to town. Scott Petrick writes for BrownZone.com, also the Chronicle Telegram in Ohio, covers the Browns. You know, I want to just start with Deshaun Watson. Like, at this point through four games, Scott, has there been any discussion about benching him and going with Jameis Winston?
Not from the team. The fans were chanting for Jameis Winston in their last home game 2 weeks ago when they lost to the Giants. But the organization, they are so deep with Deshaun Watson. They need him to be good, and they can't afford to bench him. And the reality is he's played better the last 2 weeks. You know, against the Raiders, I know he hasn't thrown for 200 yards in a game, but against the Raiders, he had an 82-yard touchdown called back. He had a big drop from Amari Cooper turned into an interception. So I actually thought last week was as well as he's played this season.
Interesting. I know Dustin Hopkins missed a huge extra point, which would have put the game into a different situation there at the end when they were threatening inside the Raiders' 10-yard line. You know, one of the games after he came back in 2022 that I thought, and I don't know if you remember this, it was January 1st, Washington yep. had to win the game in Landover to basically keep their legitimate playoff hopes alive. And I thought that was the best game I had seen Deshaun play during his comeback and may still be one of his better games since he came back. Am I right about that or not?
It was certainly his best game that he played in that six-game stretch to end 2022. He had a good second half. I think he hit Amari Cooper for three touchdowns.
Yeah.
That was the bright spot of that year. And then, you know, last season, again, he only played six games.
Right.
He finished with – he went 14 for 14 in the second half of his last game. They came back to win in Baltimore. So when you talk to people within the Browns, that's the game they point to, is the game in Baltimore before he had to go have – shoulder surgery, as this is what he can do, because you know, completed every pass and helped lead a comeback in a hostile environment against, you know, the team that was the best in the AFC in the regular season last year.
Let's stick with offense. You know, first of all, is there any chance Chubb plays Sunday?
No.
Okay. I think Jerome Ford's a good back. Washington's really struggled against the run. What do you expect? Do you expect Stefanski and Dorsey to try to establish the run and try to run the football?
Yeah, it's so interesting. They used to be, the Browns, under Kevin Stefanski's first four seasons, were a team that was heavy run. And then this year they made offensive staff changes with the idea of becoming more spread, becoming more pass first, in order to maximize Deshaun Watson's skill set. So they don't come out and run it as often as they have in the past. Now, in their one win this year against Jacksonville, they did that. They came out, they went jumbo sets, they ran it early, and they established it, and that really helped. It takes pressure off the offensive line, it takes pressure off Watson. So we could certainly see that, given Washington's struggles against the run. But part of me thinks that the Browns know this could be a shootout, and that they're going to need to score points, and the best way to score points is to throw it around the field. And I think they think that Washington is susceptible in the pass game too. So I don't know exactly which way they're going to go, just because they haven't shown a true commitment to the run game consistently.
I'm curious, was Bill Callahan huge for them when he was there?
Yeah. If you were here and listening to Sports Talk Radio, you would hear Bill Callahan's name an awful lot. You know, the Browns loved him, thought he was the best offensive line coach in the league, leaves to go with his son, and the line has been a big problem this year. Now, injuries play a huge part of it. Jedrick Wills, our left tackle, has played 2.5 quarters. Jack Conklin, a 2-time All-Pro, is yet to play. Their center went out early last week. Wyatt Teller, their right guard, is on IR. So they have plenty of personnel issues. but they've also had confusion, and they haven't picked up every blitz, and they're struggling just overall. And I think the loss of Bill Callahan is a factor in that. I don't think it's the only thing, but they do feel his loss. I don't think there's any question about that.
I mean, take away the first game, which was, it's always kind of weird, week one, and there was a big punt return in that game, et cetera. I mean, they could have easily won any of the last three games. They lost all of them, low scoring, you know, grinded out kind of games. So before we get to Myles Garrett and that defense, just, you said you think Deshaun Watson played better than maybe he has recently. Mm-hmm. Are they ascending offensively, do you think?
I'm not ready to go that far.
Okay.
They still have,
because they're dead last pretty much in every advanced metric offensively in the league.
Yeah, and even the rudimentary ones that I understand, you know, they have to score 20 points in a game. They have 6 touchdowns on offense, and 3 of them are on first possessions. They scored a touchdown in their first possession each of the last 3 games, and then they go cold. They're worse in the league on third down. So yeah, I see Deshaun Watson getting better, and you can make a correlation. Well, if your quarterback plays better, your offense feels like it could play better. And I think there's a chance if they get David Njoku back at tight end. Amari Cooper has been so up and down this year. If he hangs onto the ball, like, there is a reason to think that there's greater potential from this offense, but I'm not ready to make that leap because I just haven't seen him do it enough.
We're talking to Scott Petrick. Scott writes for BrownZone.com, the Chronicle Telegram out in Ohio. So let's flip it to the defensive side of the ball. Look, this, you know, take the playoff game out of the equation. This was one of the best defensive teams and one of the most fun defensive teams to watch last year. So what are they this year through 4 games?
Slightly above average, which isn't good enough. And, you know, you can pin most of the blame on the offense, and I do. But the defense is not without responsibility. If it played like its dominant self, then this team would have won more games. They have a couple of drives a game where they just have a stupid penalty that extends it or miss a tackle and can't get off the field. You know, Jim Schwartz, the defense coordinator, yesterday said, it feels like we need to get kicked in the teeth, and then we wake up, and it can be too late. And especially with the offense struggling, you can't put it in the kind of holes that the defense has helped put the offense in. So it needs to be better. I think they have all the talent they need. I think it's all right there for them. They just haven't put a complete game together. A couple of bad roughing the passer penalties, like I mentioned. They struggled to tackle the last couple of weeks. Martin Emerson Jr., one of the corners, hasn't played as well as he did in his first 2 years. But I think there is a chance that it all comes together, and I think that could happen at any point. And you mentioned Myles Garrett. When you have a guy like Myles Garrett, you know, he can take over a game, and we've seen him do that. And he's been dealing with injuries, and yet he still has 4 sacks and 2 forced fumbles.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, he went into last week's game a little bit banged up and had 2 sacks. What is his condition coming into this game?
Yeah, we talked to him later today, and he's always kind of, I don't know, vague about injuries and what have you, but he's getting better. He's been able to, he practiced yesterday, so he only missed practice Wednesday each of the last 2 weeks. He's been able to practice Thursday. I expect him he'll practice today. So I do think he's trending in the right direction physically, and that's huge for them because I think it was the Giants game where he was as limited as I've seen him, yet still had a great game, and PFF graded him super high and had a ton of pressures. But I see him, I thought last week he looked way healthier to me, and it showed up with a couple of sacks.
By the way, just curious, what's he like to cover?
I love him. And he's an interesting dude. He's got a lot of personality, a lot of interests, but he gives thoughtful answers, and I think there's some real depth to him as a person, and I think he's unbelievable as a player. I really enjoy covering him.
All right. So you guys are coming into a building that has not been necessarily home field friendly for this franchise in a long, long time. But there's more excitement here, Scott, than there's been probably since 2012 RG3's rookie season. So I'm curious, from a Cleveland perspective, what playing Jaden Daniels in this offense, the conversation has been, and then how you think Jim Schwartz will, you know, handle it. He's got four games of tape, whereas the other teams only had a few games of tape. Todd Bowles didn't have any. But just give me your thoughts of, you know, Washington, Daniels, and how defensively Cleveland tries to slow the offense down.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about they have all that tape, but all that tape is just him sitting back in the pocket making great throw after great throw and not getting pressured and scrambling when he needs to. So the Browns have all the respect in the world for him. They, you know, can't believe how his completion percentage is high as is, and they say all good things. I do think they benefit from playing Lamar Jackson twice a year, and they've made those comparisons this week that there's similarities between the two. And so they have a comfort level with the quarterback with that skill set and the ability to burn you with his legs. So they know they have to keep him in the pocket, right? They have to be disciplined in their rushes, and I think that's, it, if not the top of the list, it's high on the list of things they have to do to combat Jayden Daniels. And I think the other part is he's looked so comfortable in the pocket that, you know, the Browns are driven by their front four. They tend to get a lot of pressure. I feel like they think that's the way they can change it and bring him back down to earth, is if they can get to him and hit him and sack him and pressure him, maybe force him to throw an interception, which he hasn't done. So that's the key for them. And it's key for every quarterback. But the Browns have the talent to get consistent pressure on him. And I think that's the recipe for, you know, them having a chance to win this game.
I talked about this earlier. I just think because you got four games and it's Jim Schwartz, who's been an outstanding coordinator. He has, in every spot he's gone, especially with young quarterbacks, he's come up with ways to confuse, you know, sometimes erring on the side of being overly aggressive. Is he viewed that way in Cleveland as he was when he got there, as he was, you know, in Philly and Tennessee and various places, or not?
Oh, yeah, he's loved here. And, I mean, he took over a bad defense with a bunch of talent. And then they were the number one defense in the league last year from a yard perspective, third down, first downs. So, yeah, I mean, people love him here. People give him all the credit in the world for flipping that defense. And, you know, he carries himself with a bravado and an edge that I think football fans like to see from their coaches.
So what do you think happens Sunday?
You know what? I'm torn. I'm picking the Commanders in a close one. Like 23-20 is my official prediction. But I feel like the Browns are better than 1-3, and I think that's going to show up at some time unexpectedly. And I wouldn't be stunned if it's this week. So I think they have a shot to pull it off. I just haven't seen enough from that offense where I feel comfortable picking them.
Just out of curiosity, if Washington wins this week and they're 1-4, I mean, I think there's been a lot of conversation about Amari Cooper, et cetera. Yeah. Do they become potential, you know, trade deadline sellers?
Yeah, I think at some point. I don't know if it happens at 1-4, but, you know, the schedule doesn't get a whole lot easier for the Browns. It's Philly, Cincinnati, Baltimore after that. So they'll know at the deadline if they're hanging around the AFC North or not. And I think it makes, if they're 2-6 or whatever that record would be, I think Amari Cooper would certainly be on the trade block, and maybe even like left tackle Jedrick Wills Jr. He's in the last year of his rookie contract and he hasn't signed an extension yet. I could see them move a couple of pieces. Now you got to be careful, right? You can't get rid of all your guys. But those are the two that come to the front of my mind.
Scott Petrick, everybody, at Scott Petrick, Petrick spelled P-E-T-R-A-K on X on Twitter. Really appreciate the information, Scott. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.